Blog Talk Radio.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الرحمن الرحيم. مالك يوم الدين. إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين. اهدنا الصراط المستقيم. صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Latifa A. Hameen, the CEO for American Muslim 360, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice is protected.
The views expressed by the host guests are their own and not necessarily the position of AM360 or the parent corporation, the Community-Wide Shura Conference, CWSC Incorporated. AM360 content is intended as a community service and is not designed to provide specific personal, medical, financial, or legal counsel or other professional advice, and no liability shall extend to the hosts or hostesses of AM360 or CWSC. We encourage you to seek an advisor for your specific circumstance. Now Joshua fought the battle of Jericho,
and the walls came tumbling down. Community-Wide Shura Conference and American Muslim 360 invites you to promote your organization or event on the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice protected. Affordable rates allow you to promote your event, product, or service and strengthen our national intelligentsia network. Contact corporate underwriting today at info@cwsc.us. That's info@cwsc.us. Or call 910-317-0297. Again, 910-317-0297. Together we can remake the world.
Assalamu alaikum. Rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And welcome to another edition of the CWSC Friday Roundtable. I am one of your hosts this morning, Latifa A. Hameen, and my co-host, Alia Abdul Rahman. Assalamu alaikum, my sister.
Wa alaikum salam, rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. How are you, dear? And welcome back.
Thank you. It's good to be back. It's good to be back on the air. Listening audience, Jumama Bar to everyone, and we're just so happy to be here this morning. It's just a wonderful day, always Friday. We always want to give a love, subhanAllah, with the island of praise, and it's just wonderful. How's your week been, my sister? Been busy for you this week as well?
Yes, busy as usual. Alhamdulillah, thankful to be here on Juma and Juma Mubarak to you. Everything's well. Alhamdulillah, no complaints. You know, what does that do? Allah plans, and Allah's the best of planners.
Alhamdulillah, we know that for sure. Allah wa'alam. Yes, ma'am, and Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, ashhadu anna Muhammad abduhu wa rasulullah. I bear witness that there is no God but the one God, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the messenger. Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. Oh Allah, we cannot manage this life alone by ourselves. Please make our life what you want it to be or what you prefer it to be. Do not allow us to act on our own. Help us to act only in obedience to you, Almighty God Allah. We hear and we obey. Ameen. Oh Allah, grant us what you have promised us by the messengers and disgrace us not on the day of resurrection. Surely you do not break your promise. And you are perfect and we are imperfect. So God is Almighty God. Oh Allah, you are our Lord. There is no God but you. You created us and we are your servants and we uphold our covenant to you as much as we're able. We seek refuge in you from the evil that we have done. We acknowledge your favor and we acknowledge our sin. So please forgive us. Indeed, there is none that can forgive sin except for you. Ameen, ameen, ameen. One last one. Oh Allah, make great our desire for the Quran. Make it a light for our vision and a cure for our hearts and the departure of our worries and sadness. O Allah, adorn our tongues with it. Beautify our faces by it. Strengthen our bodies with it and make heavy our scales with it. Grant us the best of recitation and strengthen us to obey you by the hours of the night and the edges of the day. Gather us on the day of resurrection with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and with those who are nearest to Allah. Ameen, ameen, ameen. Juma Mubarak again to everyone. My sister, so good to hear your voice this morning and to be here with you. So alhamdulillah, I thank Allah for every day, and especially our Friday Juma, being able to go and have our worship day, inshallah. All right, sister, we are going to begin our program.
So glad to hear you, because you know you weren't here last week, and I missed you. So I just want to put that out there.
You know, I miss you.
We had a good show. Yeah, and we had a good show with Martha.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, you're talking, I'm talking, and you know what? It's a delay on my side. I noticed that, or you know that's how the phones are, so please forgive me if we're interrupting each other every once in a while, on my side anyway. And we had a show last week, and I wanted to thank Martha, who's the CWSD.
Of course, we want to thank Martha for stepping in, and being co-hosting with you, so alhamdulillah, it went very well. So we're just thankful that we have each other to
right.
step in when we need to step in, and that's a blessing. So we're thankful. Special shout out to you, Martha, this morning for stepping in for me, even in Sherry Juma. So thank you so much, alhamdulillah. And again, Jamal Barb to everyone, and we're going to continue our program this morning. And I just want to say, I was able to go on vacation with my grandson and my grandchildren and my son and his wife. So we had a good time being out there in Mexico, Cancun. So alhamdulillah. So we're thankful. I always say it's always a blessing to come back home, though. Alhamdulillah. All right.
I had a little joke there for you. You know what? I never got my ticket. I never
got
my ticket. I never got my ticket.
Oh. So you're kind of going in and out this morning, too, on your phone. I don't know why you're going in and out. Yeah,
but
you
know, to plug these phones up, and for some reason, I think the charge is intermittent. And it goes and comes in between while it's working. Because, you know, sometimes they blink, sometimes they cut off, sometimes they cut on. So, you know, let's just keep working with it. That's what we've always done.
All righty then. Let us continue on. I'm going to turn it over to your hands. We have a couple of guests this morning. We're going to turn it over to Alia for introducing our first guest. She has been here before. And our second guest, I don't know if you all remembered, we said we were going to bring Cheryl Suttick back to give us an update. She talked to us about the affirmative action, and she's an honorable honorable Cheryl Suddock out of California. We're going to have her for the second hour. In the first hour, is Dr. Amina, and I'm going to turn it over to you, Aliyah, to introduce her, inshallah.
And I see she's on, so I'm going to be brief in introducing her. She's been on as well. She was here last year. She is Dr. Kalima Abdul-Kadu.
Aliyah. Before you get started, what is her? I don't have. I need to open her mic.
646.
The first three numbers. 646? Okay.
371.
Okay, gotcha.
Okay, good. Dr. Kalima Abdul-Kadus is the president, founder, and program director of the SAVE Campaign NGO, a nonprofit diaspora and special consultative status with the Economic and Social Council, ECOSOC, of the United Nations, New York, USA, headquarters. She focuses on the spiritual, perceptual, cognitive performance issues that relate to human behavior, more specifically to people of color who are marginalized by systemic disenfranchisement. As a pan-African, she constantly does the research in behavior, perceptions, and reactions on the basis premise of religious and human practices from the perspective of those who are people of color and are descendants of African slaves in America. Dr. Abdul-Kadus has written 24 course curriculum that applies her expertise in holistic education to entrepreneurship strategies, vocational rehabilitation, real-world trade, finance, and economic development. Oh, boy, and she has a whole other page here, and I want her to come on as soon as possible to explain everything she's doing, and she's going to talk about homelessness and advocacy today. Welcome, Abdul-Kadus, Sister Abdul-Kadus, Dr. Kalima Abdul-Kadus. Welcome.
Salaam alaikum, everybody. Thank you for having me back. Good to hear your sister's voices this beautiful Juma Friday.
Yes, Juma Mubarak, too. Assalamu alaikum, and welcome back.
Wa alaikum salam.
Latifa?
Assalamu alaikum, Dr. Kalima.
Wa alaikum salam, my beautiful sister. How are you?
Alhamdulillah, Allah's good all the time. And how are you? I hope all is well. You're coming on last time, and you had some, you know, you were ill. So, alhamdulillah, I'm so glad that Allah bless you with Shefa.
Alhamdulillah. Inshallah. Yeah, it was pretty bad. You know, I'm not 100% recovered right now. You probably can hear it in my voice. But, you know, I'm grateful for whatever little bit I could get, you know, without complaining. And when I turn something down, it usually means I'm in pretty bad shape. So to be here now is a good thing. It's some improvement. And I'm grateful. Maybe I should have been on your trip to Mexico. That probably would have improved.
It was not.
My diagnosis loves heat, so that would have worked out pretty well. I didn't get my ticket either, Sister Aliyah.
I know now, see. Don't tell nobody.
No ticket came this way. You know, a vacation is always a good thing, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes,
I'm telling you, but I'm grateful because this Juma is not just regular Juma. This is also a Shura. Alhamdulillah for that.
Yes.
So, you know, a lot of good things come with that. Having me on the show is charity, and whatever you do for your family, the rewards are massive. You know, so I'm just grateful that I'm better today and that you'll have me today to discuss the advocacy that I was invited to discuss because based on my own experience in homelessness. It's funny because right before Whoopi Goldberg did the movie Ghost, she was in a homeless shelter that I was in. I got in the shelter. Isn't that funny? I was in the shelter. Yeah. Somebody stole my house. Yep, in New York. And, you know, when they stole my house. It's funny how you don't know why Allah will put you in a situation, you know, and then you'll start asking them, like, wait a minute, Allah, what am I doing here? Like, it just was that crazy to me. But then when I got my feet planted in and I saw the abuse from the inside, see, I was on the outside getting the complaints from people of color worldwide about the abuse in the system. And I was responding from the outside looking in, which is quite a different phenomenon than when you're inside the thick of it. And seeing it from the inside, I said, oh my God, the way they're treating, no wonder you sent me here. So, you know, I started putting my feelers out and looking for advocates and the people I need to talk to. Spoke to Dr. Amina Ali with the SDGs at the UN and told her I needed permission to move forward the way, you know, Dr. Kalima would move forward. And she said, sure, this should be very interesting because we know how you get down. Oh, what did she say that for? I said, I have got to help my sisters. This is out of control. And then it's funny because us as Muslims, people think they got to be Muslim to get the support. We are for humanity. And that's why we are the ambassadors to Islam, the advocate, you know, the, the sports, the person that represents the little animal that runs around, mascot for Islam, so to speak.
Yes, yes.
And our character, right, our character matters. They're watching us. We're supposed to be the best of people. So that kind of worked out when I stepped up and said, you know what, Allah, I know what you're telling me now. I got to go and be an advocate for these people. And you are listening to their prayers too. These women have been crying in here for you to help them. And that's why I had to come. So I said, let me go ahead. And the other document Sister Lee is talking about is the press release that I sent out for being the announcement for being the DHS, Department of Homeless Services, advocate. Mm-hmm. So we put Safe Campaign right out front from the inside, which was, I said, look at it, remind me of Moses, Prophet Musa, growing up in Pharaoh's house.
Yeah.
So it was really serious. And it got so big, they were flipping those shelters upside down in no time. People were getting plucked out their seats. Mayor Eric Adams is running around scared to death because he's been exposed for bringing those migrants in and selling the housing vouchers. Sold the vouchers and made money and left the women that were there already in the shelter without an apartment. And we chopped his head, too. Yeah. And it's
no,
like these people have been
never
there.
Never known that. That's amazing.
No. Isn't that crazy?
Yes.
I met a woman. I took this lady down to IDNYC from Nigeria. She's been in this shelter for 20 years. They took her ID and hid it because they get $8,000 every month on the first per head. Can you
for
believe
a person
that?
In the shelter.
Yes, on the first of every month. Yes, the government paid. So that's why when I came in and went off about it and exposed what's called the ILP, that's individual, plan, independent plan. So that's like your moving plan, so your living plan. And the ombudsman is from Africa, too. And Ms. Nantongo, so I went off on her too, because you went a whole month. A job of the ombudsman is to actually look at the ILPs every month to know who's in each one of the DHS's shelter and find out the case. What's the case with this specific person to move them along? You're supposed to have your voucher in 90 days, your housing voucher. And then sometime between 90 days to the six-month mark, you're supposed to be moved out. But they've been having people in here over 3-4 years. Now, we understand that since COVID happened, people weren't moving. So that was an issue then. But for this woman for 20 years, they deliberately kept her for salary. And I did the research on it, and I found out that the guy who owns this shelter, Samaritan Village, actually got kicked out of the state of California and moved to New York for doing the misappropriation of funds. So he tried to play the same game here, and I exposed it. See, they know they can't do anything but respect me. I don't fear nothing but Allah. I'm all about righteousness, and you're only going to die once. You know what I'm saying? So we have to do what's right, regardless. We have to. The Quran talks about how not the same are those who shout out from the high and elevated places as those down on the ground fighting the war. It's two different things, and the rewards are different. And so I'm one on the ground. I can't just sit back and watch these people crying. They throw things at them. You will not believe it. Some people are mentally disabled. They take spray and spray them and tease them, telling them they stink.
Who does that? The other homeless people?
Yes. Yeah, no, the staff, honey. This is who I went after, upper management, chasing them around with spray. Can you believe that? So I had to go to the Americans with Disabilities people to back me. When I tell you I went to the top, I was going to the top of everything. The mayor's office, everybody. I was chopping everybody's head. All they had to do was tell me that I had permission to do that. And that's what I went to Dr. Amina Ali for, to ask her advice. And I had her call into the system for me on my behalf. And then she let the reins go. She said, go, Dr. Lima. And that was it. And I went everywhere. And when I went to the Disabilities, they complained. They were spraying these people who already were suffering from depression, wouldn't bathe. They were sad and lonely, didn't have family. And instead of getting them the medical attention they needed, I'm a psychiatric counselor, certified. So I know you were supposed to have on the facility some support for the people when they had episodes. But you didn't
now,
have
me,
that. Instead,
I have, I have a question right there.
Yes.
Isn't that what part of the $8,000 per person is for?
Right. You hit nail on the head. So you're collecting checks, but you're not providing the services that you collect the checks for. You just keep misappropriating funds, lying in your pockets, and then they bring in these people who are undertrained. So they don't know better either. They think this is what they do. They follow what the person before them showed them how to treat the people like they were beneath them, less than the gum underneath your shoe. But you collected a check to provide a service to this person, but you won't give them toilet paper. You won't give them body soap without calling all kinds of names. I witnessed all of this. So you know what I did? I took them and I called them all my sisters, and they loved me to death. They were wanting to put on hijab and all kinds of stuff. And we start singing a song going down the hallway. Hey, Moses, way down in Egypt land, tell old Pharaoh to let my people go. And that's our whole thing we do. We congregate, they sit, and they tell me individually they're crying. Gripes about what they're dealing with, what's hurting them, and I go and address it. Now they include me at the upper management to input ideas, algorithms on restructuring staff and, you know, the hierarchy and things like that to properly run an effective process here, because you can't, you know, you're putting these people in the hospital. They used to be going every other day in ambulances coming because they were, you know, having episodes behind them the way it was mistreating them. You know, those are lawsuits they had, mold and mildew, they're throwing them in, you know, to breathe in things unhealthy, not allowing them to have their what's called a reasonable accommodation medically, you know, diets that were supposed to be for diabetics and renal diets. They were pocketing the money that should have been given to them. Laundry services, all kinds of stuff they drop the ball, treat them like garbage. You can't have this. You can't have that. Normal human things you can't have. Instead of training them.
Okay. Wow. I have a question.
Mm-hmm.
But Latifah, it's for PSA. If we can do that, maybe we can have questions.
Okay, inshallah. We have a caller, so I will go to a station identification break, and inshallah, when we come back, we'll open up the lines for the listening audience. So we don't know what's going on out there in this homeless shelter. So this is really, really interesting, inshallah. We'll be right back, inshallah.
God's peace be upon you. God's love be upon you. God's compassion be upon you, the one soul of humanity. May we let it be in thought and in action. On behalf of CWSC Intelligentsia, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice protected, American Muslim 360, the Speakers Bureau, the Model Community National Resource Directory, the Volunteer Human Resource Network, Scholarship, the Learning Lab, Ambassadors, National Leadership Advisory Council, Internship, Leadership Development Council, the Think Tank, Strategic Family Institute, the Bookstore. May we share completely humanity in spirit and in form, from thought to action. God's peace, God's love, God's compassion. Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Edward Willis, advisor at Graceline Community, asking you to join me in supporting community-wide Shura Conference and American Muslim 360. Make your tax-deductible contribution today at cwsc.us or phone in your pledge to 910-317-0297. Again, make your tax-deductible contribution today at cwsc.us or by phone at 910-317-0297. Together, we can remake the world. Thank you.
And welcome back to the CWSC Friday Roundtable. I am one of your hosts this morning, Latifah A. Hamid, with my co-host, Alia Abdul-Rahman, and our special guest, Dr. Kalima. You can connect with us online at am360.org or by 24-hour streaming at 701-719-4197 or online at am360.org. Join us live in the studio by dialing 515-605-9891 or 425-292-4253. You can email us at info@cwsc.us or tweet us at CWSURA. That's S-H-U-R-A-A. Like us on Facebook, Community Wide Shura Conference, and American Muslim 360 Sharing. Visit the website of our parent company at cwsc.us or leave a listener comment at 910-317-0297. You're listening to AM360, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice is protected. Together, we can remake this world into a better place, inshallah. We have a caller, 347-336. Assalamu alaikum. Sister Mahabhar.
Wa alaikum assalam, Sister Latifah. And Sister Alia, and your wonderful guest this morning. I am so touched by what she is sharing in the putting together, being motivated to talk about the essential need for advocacy, especially with those who are depleted from the normal advantages that we've come to expect as human beings. And I thank both of you for inviting her to come on and give us some of the details involved with why advocacy is so important and the general concept of services that we talk about providing for people, but there seems to be little follow-through in making sure that those who need these services receive these services. So I wanted to just share just very briefly an experience of working with an assisted living facility and finding out that the concept that seems to be pervasive is the treatment of those residences, those who are involved and living in assisted facilities as though they are in prison, incarcerated. And I would wonder what you can share with us about why there seems to be this predominant attitude of punishment instead of advocacy.
Absolutely, my dear. What is your name, by the way?
My name is Mahasin Abdul-Salam.
Nice to meet you. What a beautiful introduction you made. You really almost brought tears to my eyes, and I don't cry so easily. But, it's just so alhamdulillah that somebody else gets it. And that, I feel honored and blessed that Allah, when you don't know it's going on like that, and then you just get the complaints, it's different than actually living it. And you're right. They treat them like animals. Like, just because you're struggling financially and you're not rich and you're poor with all kinds of different stories. Everybody's not on drugs. Everybody's not a lazy bum. You got people who are in here who were paralegals, worked decent jobs, and just life happened. Got burnt out of their homes. The houses burnt down, and they ended up in the shelter. But rather than learn how the individuals need is, I'm just going to bag you up. You're a prisoner out of Rikers Island, pretty much. And I'm going to slam your head to the ground. Matter of fact, so what? You used to have a key to your door, and you were a grown-up adult, able to provide for yourself. But once you walk in here, you're like a little kid at 65 years old. Now you don't know nothing, and we got our feet on your neck. That's exactly what it is. And everybody is not strong enough to speak up. Like, I'm a victim and survivor of domestic violence, but I came out, alhamdulillah, different, where I don't let people treat me any way they want to treat me. But some people, it brings low self-esteem. They can't fight back, and they need advocates that are willing to stand up and do the knockout for them. That's who I am. And I don't care about what they think. It's wrong, and I'm going to tell you you're wrong. And I don't care if you're not my friend after that. I don't need you as my friend. Allah is my friend. Righteousness is my friend. And they are mean to the adults, the seniors, the old people, calling them names. And I'm saying to myself, what created that? What about me? And I've said this in meetings with them. What about me having a crisis in my life makes you feel like you are right to put your foot on my neck? I'm already down. Why would you want to kick me even further down than I already feel? And so that's when I went in with the two guns drawn, and I mean that literally. I told them I'm licensed and trained. Which way do you want to take this? Because I'm going to fix it. Whatever it takes, I'm going to fix it. Because you have a clear problem that was here before I got here. Because they try to make it like I was a troublemaker. But I said, no, this problem was here before Dr. Kalima came here. And it needs to be corrected, and that's why Allah sent me. And I'm going to be obedient to what he said, whether you like it or not. And so now things have changed, and we're thinking about taking the SAFE campaign into other states that have the same problem with their housing system. We're starting with New York State, but we were looking at other states as well that have sent us complaints about how they've been treated inside the shelter system as well.
That is really something. I mean, we wouldn't have I never put a financial amount of money, but $8,000, who live off of $8,000 per month per person?
Per person, that's right. And it hurts me because here's the problem. The SAFE campaign We went by the grace and mercy of Allah in between 2016, 2019. We ended that 30-plus year war in Sudan that killed over 1.5 million people. We did that with blood, sweat, and tears, no money. How come everybody's always asking for money to advocate, to make changes? We need money, and nobody pays me anything. You know how I do this? Like Mother Teresa, straight out of my Social Security disability. Nobody gives me anything. The Muslims don't even support me. But I'm not going to let that stop me. I still go for free. My reward is with Allah.
Yes.
If you want to give money, that's fine. But if you don't, it's not going to stop me from doing what is right for the people, period.
Yeah.
So look what Allah did. I've been worrying about my health, right? That's how Allah pays me. I've been worrying about my health. The biggest thing I want is to regenerate my kidneys more than anything else. Okay, that's all I pray to him about every day. Do you know, a lady calls me yesterday, and she says to me, she's blowing up my phone. At first, I didn't answer. I'm too tired. My phone is ringing all day. And something said, pick up that woman's call. I answer her. Lady fell in love with me, Christian woman down in Arkansas. She spoke to me last year. She said, we have decided to gift you with the machine, the stem cell machine wand that we found has been generating organs. I wanted that machine so bad and couldn't afford it. $400. They donated it to me, and it's in the mail as of this morning. Alhamdulillah. That's how Allah rewards me.
Yes.
You see that?
Yes.
And then a sister, Sister Kenya Newman, let me please announce her name. Sister Kenya Newman has been following the SAFE campaign for the beginning of SAFE campaign to now. Text me in WhatsApp 2 days ago. Give me your Zelle. We are sending SAFE campaign some money. I didn't have to do it. They just see the value. Alhamdulillah. That's how Allah does it.
Yes. And
I would love for the Muslims to have my back. You know?
Well, we are going to have to come together as we claim. We make the claim as the prophets did, saying they hear and obey. So we've got to exemplify that and come together in our shura and organize ourselves to be a
absolutely
for advocacy of the human being. And I'm so honored to hear you speak so strongly about this. I can't wait until you share your contact information at the end, because there are so many questions that I have, and there are people that I'm
not enough time here.
Who want to do advocacy. So this is not the last time that I will speak with you about this, look to hear from me, please. But thank
you. Let me tell you what I really need, because nobody really asked me the real depths of what I really need. I am a force that Allah has created. It's nothing credit to me. Please don't misread it. I don't look for accolades. Sister Leah will tell you, I'm not here looking to be praised or worshipped or anything. What I want, I'm a Sufi Tijani Muslim. I'm highly spiritual. All I want to do is please Allah and go be with my mother in paradise. That's it. Now, I'm going to say this. Because of who I am as a leader, I have a fiance who is military, about to retire, protects the president of the USA. What he wants to do is be my guard, my bodyguard. So I came up with an idea. I would like to voice it on the ground with the people. I want to go on a tour, and I want to hug people. I want to hear their stories live, and I want to address their concerns. I don't want to be media like the regular media. I want to go on the ground and walk in the audience and do like Gerald LeVert did me years ago when I went to one of his shows. He really is a teddy bear. He walked up on me, saw me in the crowd, saw my eyes and said, you're such a sweetheart. And he just hugged me for no reason. And that day I needed it because I was with my abusive ex-husband. I needed that. I want to come from that angle and go in the crowd and hear people. Get on the stage and tell them what I do, and then go hear them in the crowd so I would know how to help them from their own mouths.
Yeah.
That's what I want. So if you know somebody that books tours, put me on it. I don't care if it's one of those regular shows that they get in them standing in the rounds, you know. I want to do it like that. So if there's a, I feel like I could touch more people that way worldwide who are crying out. You know what I mean?
I guess. Well, there are some. I'm just going to say this because I'm just, my heart is pounding because you have tapped into a subject matter that you really have to have courage to do.
Mm-hmm.
You have to have faith, and so I hear that in you, and we're of the same vibrational level. Let me put it like that.
Okay.
So I know that I was supposed to hear you today, and we are supposed to continue to talk because this is the level that Aaliyah has she's been talking about and explaining what advocacy, a life of advocacy, has done in her life. It's re-inspired me. And so there's a connection I would love to make for you with the pastor at First Corinthians Baptist Church in Harlem.
Okay.
I went to a program, a one-man show there last week, Mr. Bailey, and he did the story of his life. And it sounds like the two of you have the same experience, but he tours. So if there's any way, I pray Allah can help me help you get situated in that way. There's nothing more that I would love to do than to assist you.
Well, I appreciate that because I can't do it myself. Sorry to admit that. My health will not allow me. I come from a very strong entertainment background. I used to work for Sony Music Entertainment in my past life. I used to get clean entertainment deals for people signing contracts, all of that. But I don't have the health to book myself. I need somebody that is willing to make money. The UN said I'm worth $35,000 to $350,000, depending on the gig. So if that's what it is, the person who's my booking agent team could make a heck of a lot of money pushing me around the world. And that could raise funding for the needy and for the Islamic community. It would do a massive thing for the Black Muslim community.
There were 800 people in attendance at this show. There was a standing ovation at the end of Mr. Bailey's presentation. And so he's connected with the group that I think is just who you need to meet, encounter, and see how they're prepared to connect. You know, Allah always has a plan. We're believers in that.
Absolutely.
And he's always working to make the connections for those who are sincere and want to do his work so we can be effective. So I'm just going to be right in touch with you after this program, and inshallah, we will connect up, and I'm prepared to do whatever it is that I can to secure you, give you the proper
Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. Allah is so kind.
No doubt
he is so kind. And you know what? I'm going to let Sister Aaliyah at the end, she's going to plug my phone number and email for anybody who would like to reach me. I'm very open. She knows that. I'm transparent. I'm not secret. I don't hide. I talk directly to people. You know what I mean? They can leave messages. They can leave texts. They can leave WhatsApp. I answer 300 people a day, she'll tell you. I make time for
like
people,
me.
Even with my eyes. My eyes are closed at night, sleep, but I'm typing you. Still talking to you. You know, I'm trying to get some shut eye. That's how I do.
Bless you, bless you, bless you. You're a phenomenal person. And this is what God will do for you if we really want to work for him. You know?
Absolutely.
All right,
and
my dear.
Plug in right there. When you fear nobody but Allah, it's a wide open space.
It is, Cetralia. It's so much. It's
wide open.
And the reward, is sure.
Absolutely.
If you knew.
Like we say in New York, real recognize real.
That's right.
real, recognize real, baby.
I love it. I love it. Thank you so much.
Wow.
Thank you so much.
Well, thank you, Sister Masa. Oh, you know, that is such a blessing. All right.
Thank you
so much. We're going to continue on. Thank you.
Yeah, do we have any more questions, Latifa? I don't see any.
We do not have any other callers here. Listening audience, if you have any comments or questions, please raise your hand. Alhamdulillah. 727-741. Assalamu alaikum. Martha.
Okay, I got to the screen to get myself off mute. Assalamu alaikum. Assalamu alaikum. Juma Mubarak to everyone.
Juma Mubarak.
Alhamdulillah, calling from St. Louis, Clearwater, Florida. I'm on in two cities, right? The whole state of Florida. It's mine. The whole country, really. But loving hearing our dear sister. Greetings of peace to you. It's hard to keep my feet on the ground hearing you. Just praise be to Almighty God. And on behalf of CWSC, the Community-Wide Shura Conference, this is exactly why we organize position, inshallah. The work that you're requesting, we can talk and find exactly what it is that we can assist with, inshallah. Look forward to
that. Well, listen, Sister Martha, I've got to interject and say to you, girl, it was a childhood dream of mine to be a part of this radio show, AM 360, honey. For years, I said, could I possibly ever be on it? And look at Allah go. Okay? So, to me, it was an iconoclast. You know, I love the show.
Praise be to Almighty God. Praise be to God. And may the person whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put in his heart to even bring it forth, I must say, is Thomas Abdul Salam. May Almighty God bless him with all the rewards that he deserves for opening the door to it, doing what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asked him to do, and here we are today. And everyone who's listening, this is the people. This is why we say what we have in common, what Allah has given us, is our being human. And humanity is everybody's business. Praise be to Allah.
Absolutely. Couldn't have been said any better.
Thank you,
Alhamdulillah.
Shukran. F1.
Alhamdulillah.
Thank you, Martha. Hello? All right.
All right. We have another caller.
401-251-8. Assalamu alaikum. Assalamu alaikum. Sister Angela from North Providence, Rhode Island. What this sister is saying is very, very true and very helpful. And I thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that here in Rhode Island, where I go for therapy for bipolar depression, and my son, my oldest son, Hassan, goes for schizoaffective, they have a consumer's advisory board that I used to belong to before COVID came at the Providence Center on 530 North Main Street, where the clients organize, along with the therapists and psychiatrists, an advocacy group for clients that don't do exactly what you say, that they're afraid to speak up for themselves. They're afraid to say anything because they're afraid that they won't get their monthly SSI check or whatever, or it'll affect them getting their medication or whatever, like my son is like that. And we have to help these clients advocate, or any client, because they're afraid. Like my son, I have to advocate for him. He's not tough like me. I can speak up against myself and for other people that I see things wrong, going wrong, happening for them. But he's afraid to. He's afraid of, he doesn't realize his bill of rights everywhere you go. Doctors, therapists, anywhere. You have a right. You must know your rights. And this advocacy group, they teach the clients and teach them how to teach other clients. Read your Bill of Rights that's on the wall. Get a copy from your therapist and your psychiatrist and your medical doctor of everything that they're doing with you. You must get a copy. You must have proof. You must know about your treatment. You must know about how they're treating you. If they're not treating you fair, you have a right to change service. You have a right to change medical doctors. But some people can't stand up for themselves. We help. We have a clothing closet, a toiletry closet, and they have housing groups for them because some people can't speak up for themselves that they're being mistreated where they are because they have a mental problem or a disabled problem. So I thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that here in Rhode Island, they do have things like that to help others, to speak up for other people who can't, or that you can get involved in these types of groups here. They have a lot of different groups.
I love
for
that.
All different types of disabilities you can think of. There are different programs where even the autistic people can come, can go to that can't speak a word, and they have people that will have special food for them, breakfast and lunch, and help them through whatever. So most of all, you have to have backup. First of all, you must have backup with your family members. Family members must become empowered, get empowered. Don't put that person or persons down in your family. Go to workshops. Learn. Go to groups. Learn about it because they can wind up in the same predicament.
Mm-hmm.
You don't.
That's a huge
wrong
problem
with
too.
A lot of
they don't even show up. They don't have family.
Yeah. The family members. Yeah. When I was first diagnosed as manic depressive or bipolar, my mother and father went to groups. They had to because I was in hospital for the first time in 1972 for 3 months straight. My mother and father, my sisters, and my relatives went to workshops to learn how to deal with me. It's no joke. It's a holistic thing. But that family must get involved because they don't know how to treat you. They don't know what to do. The world that's in your mind, they can't put a tape on it and just heal it like that. It's a holistic thing. They don't understand, oh, you used to do this. You was able to go to school. You were volunteer. You had a job. Yeah, well, used to is used to. But you're in a different world now.
But you got to understand, though, and I have to interject there because the thing is that people have to be trained because, like my mother said, whatever is your baby is your baby. They're not going to have the same love for you that it, you know, it would be your baby. So even if you don't have the family, having advocates like you keep stressing, yes, you got to have people who are compassionate, empathic, empathetic, who care about a human being in general, whether they're related to them or not. And that's what
whether
I was saying to the Sister Mahasan. I got to go down on the ground because the thing is, what you just said to me, like, for instance, I used to have a house in Western Cranston, Rhode Island, and you're absolutely right. There is a lot of dysfunction there because it's a very healthy mix of race there, which I like, in Rhode Island. They blend well. So that issue that you see in other states is not there in Rhode Island. But it's so small, they don't have a lot of resources. But there is that dysfunction she's talking about. The thing is that I would like to go sit with those people. Example, perfect, Sister Mahasan, of what she just said. I would have fit right in front of them, heard what they had to say, find out how I can get in there with their government to be able to work with them, to help them regularly. Because, like she said, it needs to be somebody high above to go and enforce, the enforcer. See, I'm the legal piece of it. And they don't want to mess with me because we govern. I'm also the vice president of the World Human Rights Service Council. Okay, so with that, we govern over the human rights commissioners in every state, in every country. So if they're not respecting the human right of these people, disabled or not, they are afraid to see us coming. Because, see, I would pluck them from their seat, and I've done it. I walk up in
and that's,
judges'
you know, and that's
chambers,
also
and I
with
pluck
housing.
Them up.
That's also
right.
with housing, too. In housing,
right.
also, they treat them the same thing, same way.
Yes.
I don't know how we're going to get past that. I don't know, but it's horrible. and they will let them live like animals.
I can get past it. Trust me, I can get past it.
I'm going to give you my number because I need your help in getting past it for my son and other people that spaces is here.
Mm, okay, well, you get my information at the end from Sister Leah. She's going to plug all my info. And trust me, I'm the one that can get it done. Okay, housing and everything else. I walk up in the HRA offices, the public assistance too. I walk up in there and shut them down too, please.
Well, that's what needs to be done. That's what needs to be done.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm going to take your information that Alhamdulillah, Allah puts people together for a reason. Right on time. Mm-hmm. Allah is always right on time.
Assalamu alaikum
to my father.
Sister
Kalima, we have Sister Mahasan again. I'm going to get to you, Sister Mahasan. We're going to give your information out now. Let's give your information out now. And once we give your information out, we're concluding. I didn't realize how late it was.
I'm looking at the time now. We have 4 minutes.
Come back for a couple of hours. We're going to have to have you come back because there's so much that you can give us that we need in our community, inshallah. So I'm going to go to Sister Mahasan. But before I do that, we want to give her information out. Then I'm going to go to Sister Mahasan, and then we're going to conclude because it's to get ready, inshallah, for our next guest. So you want to give your information out, Dr. Kalima, or are you giving it out earlier? Dr. Kalima?
I typed it for Sister Aaliyah and then she can repeat it. Okay. I'm Dr. Kalima Fatima Abdul-Quddus, as she stated earlier, president of the SAFE Campaign NGO. My phone number, whether it's on private text, WhatsApp, or however you want to reach me, is area code 646-371-3824. And my email address directly is Kalima, that's K-A-L-I-M, like Michael A, United Nations, with an S plural, at Proton, P-R-O-T-O-N, like Nancy, .me, like Mary Edward, M-E. And I can be reached anytime for donations. You'd like to send it to our PayPal, Cash App, Venmo, or directly to bank account is fine. We try to avoid riba, usury, please, as much as possible. We do have a halal platform that we trade on to open up for the philanthropic donations and foundation for people of color who are marginalized by systemic disenfranchisement worldwide. I don't care if that's prison, homelessness, or whatever. We help you with that, inshallah.
Inshallah. Alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah. Alrighty, you want to repeat that again, Mr. Alia, for those that maybe didn't get it?
Yes, I will, real quickly. It's Kalima, capital K-A-L-I-M-A, United Nations, with an S, at gmail.com, or she has Kalima, United Nations, at proton.me, P as in Peter, R as in Ralph, O as in okay, T as in Tom, O as in OK, N as in Nancy, .me, M-me, M-E, Mary Ellis, okay? And her phone number is 646-371-3824, and she's available. She gets back with you. She's available. As she said, 300 people per day, just about it. That's what she told me when I first...
Thank you so, so much for joining us today, Dr. Kalima. We'll definitely have to get you back because it's something that's a problem out here, and we really do need this information, inshallah. I'm going to go on to Sister Mahasan, 347-336. Assalamu alaikum, Sister Mahasan.
Alaikum assalam. Thank you, Sister Latifa. Very quickly, Dr. Kalima, I received information from EBS News last night that the health insurance companies are getting ready to equalize and stabilize the care, upgrade the care
for mental health issues and healing as it is with physical health. They are going to change this legislatively so that the payment is not out of pocket. That's what has reduced the amount of care that the mental health practitioners have been able to give, because they get paid less than the physical health practitioners and doctors. So legislatively, they're getting ready to change this in terms of the law and stop the out-of-pocket cost from people.
So let me ask you this then. Mm-hmm. Does that mean, like, the online therapists, right, that
yes.
are giving counseling sessions, they will now be able to accept insurance?
Absolutely.
Oh, that's wonderful. That's wonderful.
Big breakthrough.
Yes.
Big breakthrough. So I'll definitely continue. Anyone can see that report. They did an extensive, very clarifying report on PBS News. All right. And so if you go and Google that, come up with it, you can review the 26th, yesterday, the 26th and the 27th news program, evening news on PBS, and get the 411 on that. But I just wanted to share that.
Oh, that sounds fantastic. Wonderful. There's so many avenues we can cut into. You know, by me being certified, we could cut into that avenue as well, because I can talk from the mental health. I used to do counseling in Mount Sinai Hospital for 4 years in New York City. And so I can definitely run milieus and groups, and help people in that way through Zoom calls and do the workshops that way. It's just so far that this can go in many avenues, because the housing and all of that is all related. These people will have episodes mentally just when worrying about the roof over their heads, you know?
Thank you. Thank you. Mm-hmm. So true.
Yes, ma'am.
So
we are going to have to conclude here, inshallah. I have my next guest waiting. And like I said, this is something that is not short-lived. This is something that we definitely need you to come back for, Dr. Kalima, because I know you have so much to share with us. Inshallah, we'll get together with Alia and myself, and we'll try to see if we can schedule you some more time, because, like I said, there's so much to say and so much to do, especially with the homeless and advocacy, and alhamdulillah, that you're doing such a great job with this, so inshallah. So thank you, and you're welcome to stay on with our next guest. She is a very Honorable Cheryl Sudduck. So if you want to stay on, alhamdulillah, we would love and welcome that. And inshallah, we will definitely get back with you, Dr. Kalima. And I know Sister Alia will reschedule that for you to come back and share more of this information, inshallah. And alhamdulillah that you're better and that you're getting a lot of that good help that you need.
Shukran, my sister.
May Allah continue to bless you, my sister. Inshallah.
Shukran for your Duane.
Alhamdulillah.
Kalima, and with you shortly.
All righty then. We're going to go to a quick station identification break, and we're going to come back and introduce our next guest, inshallah. Don't touch that dial. We'll be right back.
Assalamu alaikum. Welcome to AM 360. Join your host, Munira Habil, every Tuesday from 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, as we explore relationship topics addressing what we didn't know, what we've learned, and what we need to know and why. Because on this show, it's all about courtship and marriage.
Join us live every Wednesday morning from 7 a.m. to 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time with host Naima Latif and yours truly, Imam Kareem Hamid, presenting The Female Solution. We look forward to your presence. Assalamu alaikum.
And And welcome back to the CWSC Friday Roundtable. Please join us for Shaya Juma at 2 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We have Katib Imam Omar Shakir out of San Antonio, Texas, and he will be our Katib this afternoon on Shaya Juma. And then join us back here at 7 o'clock p.m. for Community Buzz and Community Developmental Stages with Martha Nyla Abdullah. All righty, we are back, and I'm going to introduce our next guest. Cheryl, would you please press 1 to get in the queue? Please, thank you. We have, I know you all know that we have the Honorable Cheryl Selleck that was here. She was here last, it's been about two weeks she was here. We said we were going to bring her back. About three? Okay, and now we said that we were going to bring her back because we talked about affirmative action and how, you know, all of that took place, and she broke everything down. So we're just so happy that she was able to join us again, and she's going to give us an update on some the conferences she attended. So we're so excited with that. If you're not familiar with Cheryl, Honorable Cheryl Sutter, she's a senior government contract professional, international negotiator, mediator, regulatory and compliance officer with nearly 30 years of business and legal experience, serving in a broad array of senior leadership roles in the commercial, private, and public sector. A University of Illinois alumni, she is an internationalist, a potentialist, and a committed proactive environmental scientist. As a scientist and a negotiator who has closed deals with Silicon Valley to Paris, London, Munich, Sydney, and Columbia to D.C., delivering solutions is one of the things she does best. The current contract service manager for AC Transit, she has previously led global negotiation and contracting for Matson Technology, Sony, Siebel, negotiating multi-million-dollar, multinational, and multilingual agreements and training international sales teams, earning her numerous awards and recognition. This is only just some of the things that Cheryl has a wealth of knowledge in so many areas. She is now, she's a public official at this particular time, too, and she'll tell you more about all the things that she does. She has like a two-page bio.
Yes.
And she's done a wealth of things. So without further ado, I'm going to bring on the Honorable Cheryl Sutter. Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum.
Walaikum assalam. Walaikum assalam.
How are you this morning? Early this morning in California.
You know, I want to ask you, what time is there?
It is just rolled over to 6 o'clock.
Oh,
yeah.
Boy, thank you so much. I'm getting my eyes are closing.
Yes.
That's just saying that. Oh,
yeah, you ungastly hour for you people. I've been on since 5-something. But it was a great first hour. Great first hour. I love it. And I want to say first, alhamdulillah, Dr. Kalima, two things. You know, first of all, you know, happy Ashura, day of Ashura, you know, Tinta Muharram.
Happy Ashura.
Yeah. It's something we do need to say. We do need to recognize this. It's a beautiful, beautiful day. And then for those of you who do not know, you know, this July is Disability Pride Month. And so it is a very, very timely discussion that you are having today. As someone who has a mobility disability, a lot of people don't know that. I walk with 4-arm crutches. So it is something that I take a lot of pride myself in, educating people about disability awareness. This is something that a lot of people don't know about and don't speak about, people with disabilities. are the largest, most discriminated body in the entire country, but 8 out of 10 people in the world will experience a disability sometime in their life. And the figure is probably higher than that, but that is the figure that we have. So this is a very, very timely discussion. So I will greet you today. Besides our normal greeting, I will tell you a greeting by someone that many of you will probably know. It is that just because a man lacks the use of his eyes, he lacks vision. The wonderful wonder. It's a great quote to start the day off. And that is from Stevie Wonder. And then I use that quote because I want to bring you up to speed about the national convening of elected and appointed, the American Muslim Elected and Appointed Officials Network, where we spoke a lot about this very subject of vision and passion and what we need to do in order to move forward with the vision of the Muslim community. And how do we put faith into action? And knowing this and putting together the two things that you're talking about today, about stability and vision. So I wanted to put that out first. I also wanted to say that there is no health without mental health. So I would like our community, since we have a stigma about talking about mental health, the Black community, the Bon community, the Muslim community, there's a huge stigma still. I don't know why still, but there's a huge stigma still about talking about mental health, talking about having, you know, therapy. And I like my therapy as much as I like my hairdresser, my nail person, my gynecologist, my eye doctor. I like my therapy right along in there in my book, you know. So I think it's healthy, and we need to have the same conversation. You should have the same conversation. You go to have your physical, and I think instead of having these conversations where it's an anomaly, we should make it a conversation. Okay, so every year you book your appointment to go to the doctor. I go to the doctor for my physical. I go to the doctor for my vision exam. I go to the doctor for my I have a throat disorder, so I go for my throat exam. I go for my gastronomical exam. I go for my mental health exam. Make it the same conversation instead of making it a separate part. So I leave you with that. Let's move to why I'm here. The other reason I'm here is I wanted to fill you guys in on this, and it is so timely because I'm not sure if you've been paying attention to the national stage, where two very critical events happened that also tie into mental health and to the wealth and to the health of our country, because it ties into two national leaders, and they both fall in two different partisan categories. It ties into this discussion we've been having about ageism, this discussion we've been having about mental health, this discussion we've been having about term limits and who is fit to serve, and how do we choose our leaders, and then where Muslims fall in this spectrum. And these conversations they're hard conversations, but they're also necessary conversations, and they're conversations that for too long Muslims have been sitting on the sidelines and waiting to be invited in rather than taking the necessary proactive stance in participating. Just yesterday, Senate minority leader, Mitch McConnell. He had a neurological moment at a press conference where he just couldn't react. He had a moment, and he's been hospitalized before, where he just, it appeared he didn't know where he was. He couldn't respond to the questions, and someone had to whisper in his ear and get him out of the spotlight. He's 81 years old, and he's still hanging on just so he can lead through the Senate. He will not respond to what his future is, and it is clear that he is not, he's doing this, and it's very political. And he is keeping silent about what he's going to do when it comes to whether he's going to run or not, right? And that's on the Republican side. On the Democratic side, we have 91-year-old Dianne Feinstein. She'll be 91. She's 91, I believe, who represents California. She's our senior senator for our state. She had another incident, and she's been in and out of medical conditions, and she had an incident recently where she had to be reminded and prompted to actually vote.
Ooh.
And she was confused at the Senate hearing. Now, she had been out of the Senate for a number of months because she was hospitalized for shingles. But she has been going through this for a number of years, but many people do not know. I know personally, I spent a lot of time in D.C. going back and forth. You could be talking to her, and she would, a few minutes later, forget what you had been talking about, and the conversation would start up. And she has been shielded for years on this conversation. And there's been a lot of calls for her resignation due to her health. And there's been this really remarkable, awkward silence about this. And she just, when it was her turn to vote, and this was a huge defense appropriations bill, over almost $832 billion to be allocated. And another senator, Patty Murray from Washington, told her, just say aye. She told her how to vote, and she told her three times. And then she votes. Now, she, if you look at her, anybody is free to look this up yourself. She seems really frail and disoriented right now. And she's in a wheelchair right now, and you can see her. This is nothing. And so the argument for people who are saying leave her alone is that this is sexist and ageist. This is not sexist and ageist. She's 90. She is what she is, 91 or more. It is what it is. This is about who is best suited to represent people who are the brightest and able to best represent our country from being able to be in office. And I say that as somebody in this middle group, right? This group of, I'm not a 20 or 30-year-old, and I'm certainly not in this age of 80, 90-year-olds. And so there's this group of us who are stuck in this middle who are not being allowed to serve, whether it's any of us, because you have these people holding on to power who are clearly unable to serve between on either side. So this is not partisan. So I want to make sure that that's understood. This is a conversation that needs to be had in this country. Is we don't have time limits. But being elected, being appointed to the bench, because now we have judges who are also having this, these issues, should not be a life sentence for the country. And I use this word on purpose. Last week we gathered over 125 elected and appointed Muslims in Chicago to discuss what we should be doing to ensure that we not only have a voice at the table, but we are helping construct it. AMEON, American Muslim Elected and Appointed Officials Network, is a group that was put together a few years ago, but we're relaunching right now. It's open to any elected or appointed official who identifies as Muslim to join. It is based out of Chicago, but it's a national network. We had sessions throughout the day. It was a long, long day. We had officials from, it was beautiful because the only two attorney generals in the country, Brother Keith Ellison from Minnesota, and also the AG of Illinois, for those of you who may not know. He is, AG Raul is Haitian American, is also Muslim. And they were both there to speak on a panel. We also had a young woman, Roman, who Kwame Raul is his name. Rua Roman from Georgia, who surprisingly won her seat on the Georgia legislature. She's state representative there. And we had a really nice fireside chat about how do we lead in divisive times. And that particular chat was about how do we get not only legislation passed, but what can we do as Muslims to affect change without having to rely on that tag as Muslims, because many times our Muslim community is just not enough. So we have to build coalition, we have to build collaboration without sacrificing who we are and what we stand for. So the state can only do what it can do. So we talked about criminal justice and voting, family law and marriage and charity and healthcare and Medicare, and what do we do with block grants. And because we're living in a time of federal devolution, so we need to, and we're, which basically means that the federal government is pushing power back to the state level. And whether that means the federal government is pushing back, you know, interstate commerce and they're concentrating on international laws. So as Muslims, we're seeing more opportunity on the state level. So we should be looking at those opportunities as well, whether it's school, local level, state level, school boards, water boards, commissions, appointments, judgeships, state legislatures. We need to be looking at that and seeing how the decisions we make are going to affect the communities that we want to serve. And that is beyond what the federal government is going to affect. If you look at what's happening right now in the federal government and the laws that are harming our communities, the groundwork for that was laid on the local level years ago. What we are witnessing now on some of the rollback of the rights and the protections, that groundwork was laid, as I spoke to you 3 weeks ago about affirmative action and at the so-called equal protection. Remember, we talked about this groundwork has been laid for decades. And so now what we need to do is be laying the groundwork and the foundation for how do we move forward. We need to be laying that down ourselves, yes, in our own communities.
That is so true. Cheryl, we have a couple of callers I need to get to. Very interesting, very just eye-opening, alhamdulillah. We have Dr. Kalima. That was our previous guest. She has a question, inshallah. Assalamu alaikum, Dr. Kalima.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullah. I will be very brief, sister. I'm very impressed, by the way, with what you've been talking about. And I'm not going to take long because I was on the show previously and I want to respect your time. But, sister, I was reading your professional profile, Sister Cheryl Sarou, and I'm very impressed to see what you have been doing and then to couple it with listening to what you were discussing about panels and, you know, attorney generals and things like that. Before Biden went in, I was the UN asked me to run for U.S. presidency. I turned it down because at the time my health was really horrible. It's a lot better now, alhamdulillah, but also because my sheikh had informed me that there was something bigger coming for me to do for the people other than just be the president of USA, where I have to speak the way they want me to instead of how I speak. I like what you're talking about, advocating for the disabled. I'm disabled. I have my own experiences about the physical disability I have and just people giving seats up on the buses is even an issue. The other thing is the reason I raised my hand more specifically is the SAFE campaign has a humanitarian investor that went to make Hajj. He's Muslim. He's from Colombia and Panama, original German lineage, but he went to make Hajj and got sick, broke down mentally, and they had him in a mental hospital. We had to find him. He was on his way on a plane after Hajj to come start a foundation for the SAFE campaign and had the mental breakdown. Just like you said, just that quick, it happened for him as well. Now, the reason I mention it is because when I got sick, and I went to get my PhD, all the adjunct professors and anybody going for JDs or doctorates that walked across that stage were on wheelchairs, walkers, canes, and crutches because the degree in itself is so stressful. It creates that mental breakdown. So when people are talking about you in a bad way, this society, the fear it breeds of homelessness, of being poor or without money causes those judges to stay on desk when they know they're sick, for example, and that they should step down and delegate to someone else to train them well to take the seat. They're struggling with their own finances, their own life, so they're worried and they stay there even when they know for a fact they can't even handle it. And I know it from experience. That's why I went semi-retired with the UN. They don't let you fully retire once you become a president, because they need you in crisis for humanity. So from hospital beds, I was getting calls from my laptop working with tubes running in and out of me when the COVID hit and all other kinds of things. You know, I understand exactly what you're talking about, and you're right. There needs to be a change in the system to restructure it and organize it when it reaches that specific plateau. And I just wanted to co-sign what you were saying, and I thank you so much for bringing out the points that you are regarding those who are mentally and physically disabled.
Thank you so much, Dr. Kalila. All righty. 469-437 station, anyway. Calling from you on the CWSC Friday Roundtable.
Thank you. This is Ishmael Fahmy out of Dallas. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, sir.
Yes.
Thank you. This is a very wonderful subject right now, both subjects were. And just quickly, I'm going to really be quickly because I want to get back to what our sister was saying about strategically stepping down. We have to be more strategic when we decide to resign or step down, because it can be argued that the Supreme Court is now politically biased based on how and who put them in office. You know, put them in. And in my opinion, had some of the Supreme Court justices been more strategic when they, instead of staying on, had they resigned at a time when someone could have came in possibly that thought like them, we wouldn't be in the situation that we are now.
Mm-hmm.
And I had the opportunity when I was in college, my roommate, he was wheelchair bound. So I got a different kind of respect for having to live with that exception. needed to, and then allow him to do things on his own, and we were able to get that understanding with each other. So I'm enjoying the program. Thank you. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum salam.
All right, Cheryl, that's all our callers for now. I'm going to I'm going to turn it back over to you, Sister Cheryl.
Thank you. Thank you. Just really quick. I agree. We need to be very strategic, and I think part of this is that we have to be strategic, but we have to also be proactive. And I think that part of the failure here is not being strategic and not being proactive. It's always being reactive. Right? And I can tell you my proclivities, but I'm not going to. I'm not going to tell you either side, you know, Democrat or Republican. But I am going to tell you that as Muslims, what tends to happen is we tend to lead from an emotional standpoint and not from a strategic standpoint, which is what Brother Ismail was talking about. So what happens with one particular party is that they latch on to one issue that they know they can get people who are very emotionally tied to that issue to run behind. And community or not, if I can get you to latch onto this issue, one or two issues, and I can get you emotionally tied to it, doesn't matter if your community burns because of the other things that I'm going to do to you. Now I'm going because I can get you tied to these emotional issues. Now I'm going to economically destroy you. And I'm going to environmentally destroy you. And I'm going to destroy the rest of your family. But over here, because I got you so emotionally wrapped up in these so-called values issues, and I got you wrapped around these values issues, which is exactly what happened to black churches, right? You got the preachers telling you that you got to do this because this is a black church issue. And it got you so wrapped up in the emotion that you forgot that your family started. You forgot that you got people over here who need some kind of assistance because of going back to part one of the show today. This medical, dental, economic, people come returning from being formerly incarcerated, people who have been separated from their families for whatever reason, women starting over their lives. Yesterday was equal pay day for black women, which showed that we're still earning just over one quarter of what white men earn out of a dollar. And they want you so distracted by looking over here to the left that you don't see them taking things out from you on the right because you're so concerned with these emotional social issues that the true issue, your economic well-being, your true psychological well-being is being destroyed. And we have to learn how to stay focused in the middle to balance both of them. And how do you do that? The same word, strategically. We can be strategically balanced to care about the community, to care about being psychologically, sociologically, physiologically, and ecologically balanced at the same time. You don't have to give up who you are. You don't have to give up what you believe in and live in impoverished conditions at the same time. There's nothing in the Quran that says you have to relinquish. You have to relinquish anything, or we have to live in substandard, impoverished conditions. mental in slavery, because we are letting people push us to that brink because we are not paying attention to that. Nothing happened to us that we did not allow to happen in our communities. There's no way a Muslim ban can happen unless we allowed it to happen. And how did we allow it to happen? We allowed it to happen because we allowed people to get into office who put it into place. None of us get on a Muslim. I don't know how the hell I get on a list where I'm always constantly getting my bag searched. No, they say I'm not on a list, but I'm always randomly searched.
Mm.
I'm so randomly searched, I put a note in my bags. I just put a note in there. That's a trick for some of you who are listening. I put a note in there, say, your friend searched this one the last time. That's all they get a kick out of it now because it's like, I don't know what you're looking for, but your friend searched it the last time. So, and I leave all the notes in there from the last time. I just start stacking them up in the inside. We did this, and we did it because we don't make sure that we put people into office who are going to reflect our communities in the diaspora. Not everybody is going to look alike. Not everybody is going to co-sign A, B, C, D, E. We don't live in Middle East. So stop looking for candidates who are going to wear a thob or who are going to wear, you know, who are going to be only going to have her eyeballs showing. Right? Some of us have our ankles showing. So if you're offended because my ankles or my clavicle is showing, then I'll report for my beating at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. We live in the United States. So we have to stop putting cultural norms on our religion. That's not our culture. Saudi Arabia is not American culture. Stop taking, we ourselves are extorting that religion. Someone said to me about, we talked about this in Chicago as well, so I want to make sure I say this. Something about women wearing short sleeves. And I said, where is that at? Show me. Din. You know, show me in the Quran. Show me in Hadith. Something about women wearing short sleeves. I want to see that because it's 130 degrees in parts of the United States in the last 2 weeks. I want to see where it says that. Now, I do wear short sleeves, but I wear a shirt over it. But that's not the point. Where does it say that? Don't put your cultural norms on what it says. Or it doesn't say, it doesn't make me more of a Muslima because I wear hijab than it does. My really good friend who serves as state senator here in California who chooses not to. She's an excellent, excellent Muslima. So we have to stop that. But if we have people who are willing to step forward and serve our communities, we made them, we are better than the CIA. We are better than anybody who is putting torture because we put them through having to steal their firstborn before we'll co-sign or endorse them. But let somebody, you know, Billy Bob or somebody else come in here and we're ready to, oh, really? Oh, okay. Give you a chance? Okay, we'll give you a chance. Aisha who? Where'd she come from? I don't know her. Where'd she come from? Jamal, where'd he come from? What he doing? Who his people be? Oh, no, I don't know him. He got to tell me what he going to do for us. No, I remember, didn't he get divorced? How many children he have? Don't he have children by somebody else? Oh, no, I remember one time he didn't even give me the greeting at Juma one time, so I don't know if I can trust him. By somebody from outside the community who you don't know, you're ready to go ahead and vote for them. That's what we have to stop. We want, and then we get mad because we don't have enough Muslims or we don't have enough black people or brown people in office who reflect the same, you know, and like I said, it's not going to be cookie cutter. It's not going to be the exact same, but who reflect the sentiment, who reflect the experiences that we have in our community in office making decisions. And what I mean by that is how many people with visible disabilities do you see on the House floor?
I'll wait. And I don't mean McConnell. I know. Let me just say this. Let me get these out.
I'm going to let you finish your thought. We got a couple of callers. I'll let you finish your thought.
Okay. I don't mean people like McConnell or like I mentioned McConnell or Feinstein or somebody who is having like a physical a medical break. I mean physical disabilities or someone who has, you know, cerebral palsy or an actual disability. We don't see this. How many do we see who are actual mothers, who are mothers coming into office so they can have that, bring that experience onto the floor? Parents who are bringing that onto the floor like that, teachers and doctors from our community. That's what I'm talking about. Mm. If we want them, we have to vote for them and stop putting them through these ridiculous matrix. I call it the matrix effect, because we make us twist. And I was a gymnast, and I'm telling you, when I run for office, every time y'all made me go back to college gymnastics before I can get your support. Okay.
347-336.
Assalamu alaikum. Sister Mahasa. Walaikum assalam. Sister Mahasa. And good morning, assalamu alaikum to our dear Cheryl Sadat, the Honorable Cheryl Sadat. So happy that you're here again with us again. So briefly, ideas come up. It's astounding the concerns that you bring face forward and how you expand our understanding of what's important. And what isn't, who is important and who is it. And it all gets back down to a strategic area of our thinking. So I wanted to ask you the question. There's a lot of distractive living taking place now. This seems to be a trend, as they call it, and maybe a result of physical health distortions that the general population has suffered. So I've noticed that, and there's emphasis in this in our leadership, the importance of thinking. We tend to prone to not be thinkers, but we are prone to indoctrination. And the attention that's given to media, it is a captivating and enslaving process that ensues from it, the repetitions of being episodic. Now, people sit and watch TV for hours, going from one episode to the next. When you look up, a whole day can be gone, or we've been gone by choice. So I wanted to hear what your concerns or your encouragement may be in the arena of our proneness or ability to think and the care and concern we have for being under constant indoctrination. I'll stop right there, okay?
Thank you. Let me respond after I want to hear all the questions, because I want to make sure we get them all in.
Okay. I have 336 575. State your name and where you're calling from. You're on the CWSC Friday Roundtable.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Brother Fleming Alamein.
Alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah.
Assalamu alaikum.
My God. My sister, Sister Cheryl, she's always on the one, and she always presents a very thorough explanation of her activities in the community. But I'm going to be very brief this morning. This idea of critical thinking is almost a demand on us by our Creator. You have to be a critical thinker to even appreciate creation. So if you allow someone else to think for you, and that's a problem in many cases, we don't ask critical questions, We accept versus analyzing. And so the American Coalition for Good Government, we've been doing something called organize, strategize, implement, and evaluate as a methodology for whatever you're doing in the community to try to influence the political processes. But you've got to be organized for other people. The four walls of the masjid or your center is not sufficient. And so you've got to have a connection with other people who have a similar objective or a similar motivation or a similar concern that you have, and work with other people, because you're not designed to work individually. You're designed to work in community. And Sister Cheryl does a phenomenal job. I would say Herculean job, but that's not really appropriate for her. I will say a Khadija job in the way that she really represents the community in so many different levels. And I know that July 26th was the celebration for the ADA when it first came into existence, and Cheryl has been a heroine in that regard, advocating for those. And we all have some mental issues. And but by that, I simply mean when you get your physical, check yourself out, as Cheryl said earlier, you need to get a mental checkout. You need to get all the systems that Allah has blessed us to have. Each one needs to be checked out. So your mental health is very critical. And some of us shy away from that. And because we fall into indoctrination, so to say, versus, critical assessing what we're engaging in. So let's keep our focus on what's really important. Build community by working with others. Be critical in your thinking. And please, of all things, brothers and sisters, stay engaged in your community, because that's how you really impact the political process. And as a former Speaker of the House used to say, all politics are local. If you're not engaged locally, you cannot really be engaged effectively on a state level or federal level. And again, I just want to thank Sister Cheryl for her contribution. She's always on the mark, and I'll stop right there. Thank you very much for giving me my 30 seconds. Assalamu alaikum.
Thank you, brother.
Thank you.
Appreciate you.
Thank you.
All right, Cheryl, that was all our questions right now. Let us take a quick break, then we'll come back.
Yes, ma'am.
And you can comment or answer any of the questions that were said. And we'll go from there, because we're about to wrap up in about 10 minutes here, inshallah.
Yes, ma'am.
Don't just sit down. We'll be right back, inshallah.
There's a place where words make people, a place where you're invited to expand your heart and mind. There's a place where your intellect is respected and your voice protected. You're listening to the American Muslim 360 Radio Network, 24/7, Muslim-hosted, from religion and current world events, politics, faith and education, marriage and health, music and arts, physical fitness and more. Join AM360. Where we're helping to build a model community every day. It's a place where you can help remake the world.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Dapreeta Hadi, host of Al Islam and Focus Learning Lab, here on AM360, inviting you to join me Saturday evening at our new time, 5 o'clock to 7 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time, as we continue to share inspiring and thought-provoking Islamic education. Inshallah, I will see you in the lab at our new time, 5 to 7 o'clock p.m. Eastern, Saturday evening. Assalamu alaikum, and thank you kindly.
All right, welcome back to the CWSC Friday Roundtable. We're talking to the Honorable Cheryl Sadek this morning. I'm going to turn it back over to you, Cheryl. But before I do that, I just want to let everyone know, please join us back here at 2 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Shaya Jumah with the Khatib Imam Omar Shakir out of San Antonio, Texas, the resident imam of San Antonio, Texas. And he will be here at 2:30, but we'll do commentary of Imam Warfi Muhammad, Rahim Allah Alay, right at 2, and then we will have him at 2:30, inshallah. And then join us back here at 7 o'clock p.m. for Community Buzz and Community Developmental Stages with Martha Nala Abdullah. All right, Cheryl, I'm turning it back over to you.
Thank you. There's something I want us to do, but before I say that, I want to just remind people the two-edged sword we're dealing with. The same people I want to remind people the two-edged sword we're dealing with, right? So okay. The same people who we may listen to that says that, you know, women can't be allowed to, I know we've been kind of dancing around talking about specific issues. So I'm not going to talk specific issues, but I am going to bring up this. The same emotional issues that I've been talking about that says, you know, women can't be allowed to make certain decisions about their health, their reproductive rights, or whatever. And a lot of Muslims have gravitated towards it. And I'm just going to be really frank about this. Have gravitated towards it because it's something that they feel has been tied to the Quran. And I want to caution us about that for this reason. Those are the same people, that same group of people who believe that there was nothing wrong with the Tuskegee experiment, who believe there's nothing wrong with what happened during times of slavery, who don't believe that there's anything wrong with modern-day slavery, who don't believe that there's anything wrong with what's happening in our prison system right now. So you can't have two sides of the same – there are two sides of the same coin, and you can't have it both ways.
Right.
The same people who do not believe that people have a right to domain over their own bodies are the same people who will believe in many states, including California, which is supposed to be the most progressive state in our union. There are bills right now where they want to incarcerate and even have in our union modern-day lobotomies performed on people with mental health issues or homeless. So you can't have it both ways. You can't say that you care about people with disabilities, or you care about people under the Islamic tenet, but then you don't want to give people right and domain over their own body. You can't do this. You can't do it. So we have to be careful because it's a two-edged sword, everyone, right? So that's why I say don't be distracted by these very emotional issues by saying that I want to tell you what to do with your body, but I don't want somebody to tell me what to do with mine. It doesn't work that way. It doesn't work, especially when it comes to the law. We're not talking about theory in your home. We are talking about empowering people to have domain over you in the very written sense of the law. So we have to be vigilant in making sure that we are not, I'm going to give you an assignment experiment. Next time I come back, I'm going to check in with you. A lot of us have iPhones or you have an Android. And I'm going to, I just tasked staff with this in my office, and they were, their mind was blown because they didn't know they do this. Every few months, you receive a message on your phone that says your phone needs to upgrade, right, ladies? Right?
Yes.
And what do you do? What do you do?
You
upgrade or not, right? And most of the time you upgrade because you want the ladies on your phone, right?
Yeah.
Do you read the terms and conditions? Come on, it's just a you read the terms and conditions.
Yeah. Well,
do you read it?
It depends on who it is because my daughter is an IT person, so I don't. She told me the ins and outs about the phones. They're made to break down every 3 years.
But what I'm talking about is the software upgrade. So let me give you a very quick lesson on that. Okay, so shrink wrap licenses, this is what I do for a living. So shrink wrap and click wrap licenses, just a really quick update. Shrink wrap licenses, the license that comes when you go buy something at the store, right? You go buy your tax software, right? And it has that little license that comes in there, the little piece of paper with the 2-point font. Click wrap license is what happens when you go and you download your update to your phone and it says, you must click here, or it's not going to let you go any further. You got to click the little box that I read, understand, blah, 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 right?
Mm-hmm.
Most people just click it. But if you look closely underneath it, it says there's a hyperlink that allows you to email it to yourself so that you can email it, read it, then go back and click it and say, I read and understand it. 99% of you guys don't do that. You just click it, and you accept the terms and conditions, you update your phone, and you go about your business. But if you had of downloaded and ready, you would understand what you're signing up for. You would understand that you could be signing up to let them use your data, to let them use your pictures or whatever. Quick story, this happened. There was a bank, their CIO is the chief information officer, comes into work one morning, finds a group of auditors sent by a software licensor who demands access to the bank's computer system and the facilities to confirm the bank is properly using the software. Software is sold by seats and licenses. How many people do you need? Oh, I have 5,000 users. Oh, okay, well, you cannot have 5,001. Told you I used to work in the industry. They come in, they want to verify. You only got 5,000. Somewhere their records is showing that you got 7,500 people. So they want to verify. So they come in, they got a group of people. The CIO objects. He says, I can't let you in here because we can't let third parties in here to access the facilities because it would put the bank's highly sensitive data at risk. The auditors point out, no. This software license agreement that you signed says that we can come in at any time without notice to conduct an audit without prior notice. And this, if you do not let us in here, we can pull your licenses. The CIO looks around. He looks at the license. He says, heck, nabbit, I got to let you in. And not only did he have to let him in, there's no confidentiality provisions in that agreement that they signed. I mean, that they accepted because it was a shrink wrap license. What I'm telling to you, the lesson here is that sometimes we agree to things and don't know what we are agreeing to.
Absolutely.
Because we're acting off emotion and we're not acting, or we're acting, and the emotion that I'm telling you you're acting off of on your phone is that I really need this update, or I'm scared that I'm not going to be able to use my phone, or I'm scared I'm not going to be able to use my computer. I'm scared that if I don't agree to what these people are telling me, that women are going to be doing stuff to their bodies, or children are going to be doing things that I don't want them to, rather than taking a deep breath, we call it respira in Spanish, I'm really thinking about what are they not telling me. While I'm looking over here to the left, this man is pickpocketing me on the right. So
yes,
take a deep breath and think about what we need to do. And yes, so the last three words I leave you before we get out of here is this. Levántate, adaptarse, pivote. We rise, we adapt, and we pivot. We need to have the tools that are going to lead us in divisive times. Mm-hmm. And that is what the beauty of having something like AM360 is going to do. This is a beautiful showcase, this Friday roundtable. I thank you for having these kind of shows. You know, this is what we do on the other show. Thank you for allowing us to have Map 5. We'll have a show on Monday. Our shows are on Monday at 10 to 12 to allow us to be able to highlight the good work of Muslims. Again, AMION, American Muslim Elected and Appointed Officials Network, allows elected and appointed officials to be able to speak together, to learn from each other, but also to have that ability when, because some of you people make it hard to be elected and appointed because we don't get support. You act like we're supposed to change the world because you got that Muslim title in front of your name. So all of this is important.
Mm-hmm.
In my abuela's words, I leave you with this. Live in a way that does not harm and where I am also not harmed. That's my own
life.
Alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah. Thank you so much. And you can get more of Map 5 with Honorable Cheryl Suttick and Fleming Elohim and Sister Matala. They're on every Monday, 10 a.m. to 12 noon, right here on AM360. So please join us. Very wonderful program. I've listened to it so many times. The guests are phenomenal. And it's just it's a political forum, and it's just a wonderful program. So I'm just telling you to please join them Monday, 10 to 12
Pacific time. Pacific time. 10 to 12. Yeah.
You're 1 to 3.
1 to 3 Eastern Standard, correct?
Eastern. I'm sorry. 1 to 3 Eastern. I was like, I'm getting confused because, you know, we air in Pacific. We create in Pacific. We air in Eastern, and I live in Central. So I'm real confused, y'all. So it is 1 to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. I apologize. It's 10 to 12 Pacific time, but we air in Eastern, so it's 1 to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time right here on AM 360. All right. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Cheryl. And Latifah, if I can have 1 minute.
Alhamdulillah. What'd you say, Alia?
Yes, I was telling, thank you, Cheryl, for all the information. And I just want 1 minute because I took notes, and I know everyone wanted to come in and ask questions and comments. Thank you so much because what I call the people, it won't even take a minute here. I wrote it down. I call them lifers. The older people who come in, they don't have a backup. They don't have an assistant who can take over after them or in case they get sick. I was wondering about that. Thank you for bringing that up. And acronym for where you went, what was that?
Oh, AMION. It's the American Muslim Elected and Appointed Officials Network.
Oh, okay, that's a long thing. And I wanted to add...
Okay,
good, thank you. I wanted to add, you know, I was going to mention being strategic instead of emotional. I find myself being more... I didn't use strategic. I just said less emotional. But, yes, strategic is better. I say professional instead of emotional because it's like you have to do what you have to do and not get emotional, like when we see our children fall and scrape their knee. You don't start screaming all over the place. You go address that issue, which is their knee. Take care of the emergency. Another thing is when you said we're not Saudi Arabia, absolutely right. We're all from different places and different walks of life, and Allah says follow the law of the land. So we need to adapt and just keep it moving.
Mm-hmm. Yes, ma'am. Let me just say really, really quick. I know we're leaving. Really, really quick. The reason I say strategic, not professional, is professional is usually based on something that may not gel who you are. It's based on someone else's standard.
That's right. So I'm going to use strategic. Thank you. I mean, I just needed another word there. Because I can't get emotional, and that's why I advocate. And Dr. Kalima, thank you so much for coming on, and all of the people who called in. Everybody, we really, really need to expound on all of these because the lifers, like I call them, I wondered, they don't have a replacement. So once they're gone, they're gone. It's not right. We need to be there. Somebody needs to be right there. Taking over or
Pick up that banner. Yes, ma'am. Somebody needs to be there.
And I want to give the example, like Dr. Kalima. I'm Dr. Kalima's senior advisor to the administrative offices, and it's a heavy position. She told me it's going to take me years. I'm at 5 years under her right now, and I only know a fraction of what she can do and what I can do. It took me... I started in 2018. She said, I can't tell you everything and how much you have to do is going to take years. So I'm up to 5 years already. So they should have someone in place. I always wondered about that, and I'm so glad you brought that up, Cheryl. And thank you so much. And have a good weekend, everybody.
Cheryl, before you leave, I want to get some information, but I wanted to say to the listening audience, we want thank you so, so much for supporting us every Friday. We want to get a variety of people on here like we did today. This was so eye-opening. And get these people, and this is what we do here at the CWSC Friday Roundtable. We want to make it where it's something that you can take something with you. Every week when you leave here, you can take something with you and utilize it in your life or to help someone or help your family or whatever. But that's what our goal is, to bring people that are making a difference in the community, that are doing things that you might not have known about. So thank you so much Cheryl, thank you so much, Dr. Kalima, for being here today. And Cheryl, I'd like for you to leave any information in case someone would like to contact you, the Honorable Cheryl Sutter.
You can reach me at, let me give you my email is csu@yahoo.com. And I'm also at Cheryl Ford, the letter four, water.com. And I just want to make one announcement in case you don't know. The Democratic National Convention is being held in Chicago next August. And the Muslims of Chicago are on the host committee. It is a time that the Muslims will be seen worldwide, will be on the worldwide, the global stage.
Oh,
not just
goodness.
The worldwide, not just the uh-huh. United States stage, but the worldwide stage. That is something that the worldwide. And the Republican National Convention, which will be held in Wisconsin, is also asking for Muslim input. So this is not just partisan, but the fact that it will be held in Chicago, and Chicago has the largest number of Muslims per capita in the entire country.
Mm-hmm.
They have asked the Muslims to be on the host committee. I will be participating. I will keep you guys posted. I have told them, just really quickly, I've told them, this is the part I didn't get to tell you, I told them that we met with the DNC while we were there, and I told them flat out, we are not going to be your tokens. We are not going to be your pandered to. We need to be involved from day one, and not only do we need to be involved, we need to be on that stage, we need to be a front and center, and we need to have a part in speaking. We don't want to be speaking in these little spots that are not, we want to be televised nationally. You know how you have the little national people speaking in the primetime role? We want that. We want to have at least one or two of those spots. Like you have everybody else speaking, we want to speak. We want national Muslim media involved, and we want national coverage. Because nobody else was talking, so mm-hmm. I had to talk. And so
they like, wow.
So they took
it's
my name.
So
they took my name down.
Yes,
they took my name down, and so I wanted to make sure I'd say that to you guys. So so the West Coast, there was only two of us from the West Coast. And from the Bay Area, and so we will be assisting with that effort. It's August 24th for the Chicago, and actually Dr. DeLara will be on the show next month, and I will let you know when she'll be on the show so that you can call in and express what you want, but we will have a presence at that convention.
Alhamdulillah. We're thankful for that. Thank you, Cheryl. Mm-hmm. All the work that you do and you constantly do. Thank you so much. Wow, that
Absolutely.
Is wonderful.
Yes.
We appreciate you. And listening audience, please join us back here, inshallah, at 2 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We'll do commentary of the Imam Wafdi Muhammad. We will have the Shayya Juma at 2:30. With Imam Omar Shakir, and then we'll have more commentary after that, inshallah. And join us again at 7 o'clock p.m. for community buzz and development, community developmental stages with Martha Nala Abdullah, 7 o'clock p.m., inshallah, Eastern Standard Time. And next week, we are going to be talking about, we're going to be doing some things with a giveaway with students, and please, if you know of anyone, we want to do this in the Muslim community, so whatever state that you're from or city, and if you know any Muslims, schools that they need something, we're going to be giving gift cards to selected cities. And we haven't gotten all the logistics of it, but that's what we're going to be doing from CWSC. AM360. We're going to be giving it from our our platform here at AM360 will be giving away gift cards to Muslim schools for supplies, inshallah. So we look for that next week. We'll have more information on that. So if you know of any schools that are in need, we don't have much, but whatever we have, we're going to share that, inshallah. So we'll talk more about that next week. And so with that being said, we're so thankful. Cheryl, thank you again. Dr. Kalima, thank you again. And listening audience, we could not be here if it wasn't for you being on here. So we really thank you every week for your presence. We know that you had a choice, and your choice was to be with us today. We appreciate it so, so much, inshallah. Jemaah Mubarak to everyone. We're going to leave off here today. We're going to leave with Sawad El Amin. This one will be Stand Up and Jam as One, inshallah. So Jemaah Mubarak to everyone. We'll see you back here at 1 o'clock or 2 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time and 1 o'clock Central Standard Time, inshallah. All right, everyone. So with that being said, assalamu alaikum, wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu, Jemaah Mubarak.